Hi folks, I am Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix.
But I've got hundreds of hours of audios, talks that I've given over the years that anyone can download for free at cuttingthroughthematrix.com, where I go over a lot of these topics in detail. I never speculate, I don't use conspiracy, I use the books put out in memoirs of big players who work for the foundations, who still work for them, the Brzezinskis, the Kissingers, these kind of boys. And I go into the history of when really they got underway in a coordinated effort, a concentrated effort, as I say, beginning in the late 1800s, literally with a plan to take over the entire world, to bring in a controlled world society where basically those who believe that the right to rule, those who have the intelligence and the money and the power have the right to rule, they will be doing exactly that. There'll be no such thing down below in this massive, multi-layered, bureaucratic system with social services. There'll be no room for you or I or anyone else to have any personal free decisions and choices to make. It'll all be done for us. That's what they mean by their controlled society. It's a hell on earth they're bringing in, and we're living through the implementations of this. We've seen lots of it already. And the big players throughout the years, like Lord Bertrand Russell, wrote about the system. He worked for the big boys. He's affiliated with the Royal Institute for International Affairs, Council on Foreign Relations, as the American branch. And he wrote about the society they're bringing in, how they train the children, they indoctrinate the children with a scientific indoctrination, he called it. Julian Huxley was another member, the first CEO of UNESCO, whose job it was, he says, was to bring in a new society of children, train them in a world globalist society to be good, obedient, socialists who would worship their government, a world government. And these boys all wrote about this in their own books. We've lived through every phase, almost every phase of this plan, except for the depopulation part and the mandatory sterilization, which they also talked about, and so did Mr. Rockefeller's family. I think each generation of them, they're still pushing yet for depopulation on a massive scale. Managing people is quite the task. If you want to rule them, you must make them think they're free. You give them an idea what freedom is, and today it's a commercialized idea. I've gone through the whole culture creation business of Bernays in the past, and how he and others basically created definitely the United States culture of the 30s, 40s, and 50s, 60s, etc., and how even his nephews took it over. In fact, one's still running the culture industry in Britain today. And that becomes your reality. That becomes what I think is free. Some people have actually said to me, but they're free because they can go shopping anytime they want to and buy whatever they want. That's what they thought freedom was. So really, it's an elastic idea, as most things truly are. Words tend to cement ideas in our minds, and that trick in itself is a way of use, it's a way of being used by the propagandists who understand your logic and how you'll come to their conclusions. Again, written in great detail by Lord Bertrand Russell and others who were into this. And they worked with Tavistock and the big, heavy think tanks that had the agenda and the task of learning how to control millions of people across the world. The Council on Foreign Relations took that up in the 1960s when they had their international meeting held in London to decide if Britain or the U.S. culture industry should create the world culture for the global society, as far back as that. And they decided that the U.S. should do it. But also along with that came a standardized education system, and that was the task. That was the task of Julian Huxley, the brother of Aldo. He became the first CEO of UNESCO, where he talked about scientific indoctrination, not to free children across the world, but to make them manageable so they'd fit in with this pre-planned agenda. Someone asked me a few days ago there about faith in humanity, and to be honest with you, I don't have a lot of faith in general humanity. I think we've been so debased over the years by intention, and I've gone through the whole era with you and given you various links to see videos, CBC shows and BBC shows on those who gave us the 20th century, who gave us the culture industry, the ones who basically ran us as consumers in such a way that we became the products, in a sense. And they knew where they were going with it. And I've talked in the past about the culture industry, etc., and how it's debased morality until there's nothing left to debase. But it always takes me back to Julian Huxley and others who talked about the need to take humanity off its special throne and start lowering the expectation of having a superior quality of life than humans. In other words, we're to get debased down to animal status, told we're not so special after all, and then the scientists could take over as the new type of elite to run our lives and do with us as they wish, but especially reduce the population dramatically. That's always, always been their agenda, and they've written prolifically about it and held pretty well nothing back. But first, you must get people to accept that life is not so valuable after all, human life. And we've come to accept that. And when you reach this phase, which Huxley also talked about, Julian Huxley, he said there would be a complete breakdown as the old morals that kept society together fall apart. And you'll see all kinds of things happening, but that's just an unfortunate phase we have to go through, he said. These guys love society. That's why they're always into massive weaponry projects and stuff like that, or into finding ways of reducing the population. All the big players that you see pretty well in the science fields have all been involved in this kind of thing. One big club at the top. And that's also why Julian Huxley said that he belonged to the scientific elite class. He went through the different classes himself, from the dominant minority to who would have special projects, but he was in the scientific group that was held in high esteem because they would be given the rights to basically decide for society how it should go, how your health should go, and all the rest of it. After all, you see, if we're a herd and you're the farmer, you want to make sure your stock are healthy, at least as long as you're having them walk around alive. Too many of them, well, you just cull them off. With human beings, it's difficult to do because you can't just persuade them to go and commit suicide, so you have to do it by stealth methods, deception, in other words, and bring the population down. Well, what they believe in is, again, it's a eugenics system. They truly believe in Darwinism, number one. They believe that if the lesser types in society were to outbreed the intellectual and wealthy elite, then we'd bring them down. The public would bring the elite down. And that cannot happen. We'd end up in some sort of dark age, they claim. Therefore, it's their right to rule over the rest of the people and gradually bring down the populations by any means possible. See, we don't realize that a war can take many forms at the same time. They've used the culture industry, for instance, to alter culture drastically. And so the same organization said back in the early, in fact, in the late 1800s, H.G. Wells talked about the necessity, and he was a member of this group, he talked about the necessity of creating free love in order to abolish marriage. Because he said only then will governments be able to dictate right down to the individual without family members or tribal members standing in the way or standing up for the person. Therefore, you'd be defenseless when government will talk directly to you. You look around for help and there's no one there. That was part of it, divide and conquer. But also, they wanted to get access to children and offspring so that the state could indoctrinate the children, and a parent or parents, especially with the man out of the way, were less likely to put in what they call their contaminated values, old-fashioned contaminated values, into the child. The state would be responsible for bringing up the child.
Is that when they came about with a lot of the organizations like Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts camps?
Exactly. Okay. Absolutely, yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. That was the reason for it. In fact, Julian Huxley, who was the first CEO of the United Nations, UNESCO, and that whole thing was to do with a new indoctrination of children worldwide into a new culture. He was the brother of Aldous Huxley, and by the way, they're both descended and related to Darwin. Julian Huxley talks about that. He said that once the family unit was abolished, and it's even said the fact of being sterilized the public, while at the same time they give them a very permissive age where they could play with each other as much as they wanted to, but there'd be no offspring. And he also said that the elite could have the antidote to that which they're giving to sterilize the public. Well, we look what's happened since 1950s, for instance, with the initial inoculations that came out for so many things. Male sterility in the Western world, males are down 75 to 85% sterile right now, according to all the medical journals that are out today. And the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation did a very good documentary on this. It's called The Disappearing Male, and I have the link on my website in the audio section. This is no coincidence. When you see the very, very things that the top people advocated in their think tanks, in their global meetings of their day, and they're all scientists, and then you see the effects happening in society, you have to put two and two together and say, well, things like this don't suddenly happen. Something's happened to the people. Was it the food? Was it the water? Was it the injections? But something happened. And the United Nations now, every year, gives statistics on the decline of the sperm count in the Western male. And as I say, the last one was down to about 85%. They found that only two teenage males now in 20 have what they call motive cells that have enough life to move. And even then, those two out of 20 only have about 10% that are workable to fertilize a woman. This is from the national statistics and the international statistics.
So, and now I can see where they're probably really wanting to track that sort of thing too.
Yes, and the odd thing is they never call it a crisis. But whenever they come out with the statistics, every year they quote us the statistics, they never say this is a crisis. Now, obviously they don't call it a crisis because it's planned that way. If it was outside of their control, believe you me, they would call it a crisis. When you talk to, you get up there and talk to some of the higher ones there, they're all of one mind. And I kid you not, they truly believe in Darwin as a religion. And I think
when
that,
you say that, what do you mean by Darwinian theory as a religion?
Yeah. Don't you believe in Darwinism, Matt?
I believe in the theory of natural selection that Darwin described, but it's not a religion.
No.
It's a religion to these people because I'll tell you, and you've got to read the writings of Julian Huxley, who goes through the Darwinian process in detail, and he explains it. He said, if you take any form of life, he said, a tree just doesn't land as a seed somewhere and grow. He said, first, you must get amoebas going in and bacterium into the soil. Then certain grasses must come into it that will grow and die and leave certain minerals behind. And then bacteria move in again and aerate the ground. Then that seed can come in and the tree grows. What happens then is the tree will use all that nourishment. The bacterium, everything else, will die off in the process. He's trying to tell you that everything has a purpose to push another higher form of life on. That's the basic theory of Darwin. It goes with humans too. Once the humans, the lesser humans, post-industrial, agricultural, post-industrial, have pushed on society to as far as it could go in a certain area, those people then become obsolete. those who have risen to the top and proven they can hold on to power at the top and do practice special selection for certain qualities in their offspring and will inherit an awful lot of money, which is power, the proof that they are successful, they should go on, but we must be left behind. You'll find the same symbolism even in H.G. Wells's Shape of Things to Come. He shows you at the end of it where all the masses down below the big ivory towers are trying to rebel. They're so sick of these fast changes that are happening all the time, and the elite take off into space to save themselves so they can go on into the future, survive, and leave all the dead kind behind them. That's what Darwinism is based on. So society, in other words, the ordinary folk, the different level, the junk gene people, as they're calling us now, will be left behind. We've fulfilled their job. We are staging rockets to push on the payload. They are the payload, and they believe with what's left of the natural resources of the world, they have the right to use them. And meanwhile, as I say, we play ahead and we adapt. We play and we adapt through our lives to everything that happens. As Darwin said, we're the most adaptable species on the planet. That was echoed, of course, by Singer and other ones to do with behavior modification. And then Bertrand Russell, of course, one of the masters at this, who sat in all the big think tanks in the 1930s, 40s, 50s, and even the 60s, where they planned the future, the one we're going through right now, the global society, which they're terming governance, you see. And people in the street hear these terms, the slogans, and they start to parrot them themselves without thinking. We find we come to our conclusions by osmosis, not by reasoning, but by repetition from media and magazines and newspapers. Yet they do tell us where they're taking us all the time. All the time. When I was reading from the book by Julian Huxley, brother of Aldous Huxley, he talked about the depopulation program that would go along with this global society, and he said we must think the unthinkable, talking to his own peer group, of course. In other words, we must start literally putting into action plans to sterilize and depopulate through illnesses, manufactured illnesses, the population of the planet. He called it the unthinkable. Most people who are fighting the system don't get that through their heads, that it's actually happening. And I say we at the bottom must start to think and accept the unthinkable, that they've been doing it, you see, because the statistics certainly will stand up to prove that. It isn't until you understand that, that you truly understand what you're up against. There is nothing that happens by accident. The mass sterilization of the males in the West that started from the 1950s, like clockwork, just bang, away it went with inoculations to the present time, with all of the bisphenols and other artificial estrogens in the food, in the tin cans, and even in the beer cans, by the way. That's why they targeted beer cans, forget the guys. But also in the makeup of women who would apply it to their skin and it would go right into their body and affect the male fetus. So that's what you call biowarfare. It's a form of biochemical warfare. Planned, discussed, and known about the actions of these particular chemicals were understood in the 1800s. Nothing new. Very, very old techniques. They started off with fluoride, of course, in the early days. They knew about this stuff in the beginning of the 1900s and what it did with people. It made them more pliable and more easily managed. But it was Japan, too, where they first noticed that a particular village in Japan many years ago were much more placid than the average villager. And they realized when they tested the water, there was natural lithium in it. So that's where the idea sprung from. If we add this to other people's supplies, it'll make them more docile and easily managed. They won't care much what's happening in the big world or what's kind of coming down in the future. And that's why they're adding it across the world. We're going understand, go back to Julian Huxley. Julian Huxley, the brother of Aldous Huxley, his grandfather was Sir Thomas Huxley, the best friend of Charles Darwin. And Darwinism is a big part of this whole socialist agenda. It gave them ammunition for their purpose and for their planning for the future, based on superior types, inferior types, and so on. And so Julian Huxley talked about the coming system of control, where they would definitely use pharmacology and they'd use hypnosis, techniques of persuasion on television and so on. That's what they would use for the public, and it's been very successful already. Never mind all the stuff that's naturally prescribed by the physicians in the tranquilizing business. They also put it into the water.
Here's an article here, and I said this would happen because this is part of the agenda. I've read part of Julian Huxley's books on the air here, where he talks. This is, again, the CEO of UNESCO, the first major CEO of UNESCO for the United Nations, who was set up to set up a culture for the youth, really, and through a world educational system to ensure they all got the same indoctrination in any country. They'd all be the same. And Huxley said it. He says, if we can make sexuality a hyper thing with children before puberty, he said they'll have a neurotic desire. That means a never-ending desire for sexual activity after puberty. And the idea, he said, was basically so they wouldn't bond with people and marry and bond for life. Because, you see, a family is a basic small tribe. And a small tribe will stand up for any member who's attacked by the system, Big Brother. So you eliminate all of that and you have no problems at all. Other big players have said the same thing. And they've gone so far now, of course, they pretty well achieved their goals. And we've had 50 years of degrading movies and television to bring us down to this step. But Julian Huxley also said that they would use sex education, which he knew darn well was really just a form of getting children interested in something which their hormones were not ready for yet. It makes them hyper-excited eventually. And eventually when you become really overdosed with something, you become perverted. You go into the jaded stuff because you're jaded, you see. And you've got to have more excitement and more excitement each time. And then you go into I mentioned the Huxley so many times, but you have no idea how important it is to understand these players who helped set up UNESCO, or like Julian Huxley, who said openly that they had to dethrone, basically, humans from this big pedestal that they're on and bring them down. Because only then would you allow the horrific things they have planned for you to happen when you've been dehumanized. Do you understand? That's what I'm telling you. And first we brought in abortion, and they've made that sound, well, my God, you know, there's just so many folk having unwanted pregnancies now. And it's true, because they gave you the swinging 60s and sex, 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 right? That's what was promoted from the top, not from the bottom, the top down. And look what happened. Oh, look at the chaos. Look at all these. And what? Well, we've got to have abortion. And then we wring our hands and say, but that's killing, isn't it? Oh, not really, you know. And then they take away from what it is and try to dehumanize even a baby in the womb, you know. But they didn't end there, because that was never always the intention. Now you end up going for, oh, let's start euthanizing people. Or even aborting children, if there's a possibility that they'll have Down syndrome, for instance. And then you'll expand it into any possible genetic problems down the road. If you've got X amount of problems in your family line, even allergies, they might just start aborting you, you see. And there's been a lot of awfully good documentaries put out by those within that industry to do with how many children they've found on occasion they aborted, they didn't have the problems that they said that they had. They actually aborted them. But then you go to the other end of the scale, and everybody, we all knew this years ago, then they go for the elderly. You know? Well, you know, what's the point in keeping them alive if they've got certain senilities setting in? And a lot of folk could agree with it. You say, well, yeah, it's true, you know. But the thing, when you're giving
authority to the state for these things. You're walking a tightrope, because it's inevitably going to be used against the public for other reasons. And then, of course, you bring in euthanasia for folk who really are in terminal distress at the end of it all. And it's too easy to go along. And it's just too easy, isn't it? But once again, the state gets into it, and then they start dishing it out for folk with depression. Well, you've had depression. Okay, take that pill. Because, see, life's cheap now. Because we're knocked off that pedestal that Julian Huxley wanted us off of. It's there. It's gone. And now it's time for the next step. Well, the next step will be, as I've said already, let's go into, and I'll touch on it in a minute, in fact, let's start deciding who can have children, who will not have children. This was always the agenda, going way back into the 1800s, at least. You can even find records of them talking about the exact same things then, and no doubt before that too. But definitely the proof is in the 1800s.
You know, I've gone over some of the key players that helped set up the format for a good part of the 20th century and into this century. And I've read from their books, the books by Russell, the Huxleys, both brothers, one writing under the guise of science fiction, the other one actually writing straightforward as a eugenicist. And I've talked about their plans for the human society. But interestingly enough, it was Julian Huxley, the first CEO of UNESCO, who was far more clear on the agenda. Because he said we must get people trained to believe in the devaluation of human life. And this was necessary in order to depopulate the people and the planet as quickly and by any means as possible. When we look at the wars of the 20th century and the incredible slaughters that went on, much of it needless too, and in civilian areas as well, things start to make sense to you gradually. When you see, as I say, art exhibits with corpses that are treated in plastics, hanging on wires in art galleries, that's all to desensitize the population for what's to come. And it's working very well. Most people really don't care about other people. And the news we're bombarded with is always about someone over there being slaughtered by all kinds of horrible and new techniques. There's always hope, and it's a matter of, again, never giving up either. They never give up, so we must never give up. And for every day new folk tune into the radio shows and listen, every day. And young ones do too. And they're the ones who are going to have to take up the brunts of and take the cudgel up eventually down the road to make sure they have their rights back. We're only starting off the process and keeping the information alive at the moment. They'd love to kill the information altogether, but they can't, not yet. So
for those that don't know, isn't a cudgel a Scottish name for a war club?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to make sure. Pick up the club.
Yep, that's what they got to do, because we're dealing with, as you say yourself, the most ruthless people at the top that's ever existed, who are so cocksure themselves now, they believe they can do whatever they wish to the general population of an entire planet. And they believe,
hey, we're drugging your water, and we're going to start testing your blood to make sure you're drinking it.
Yes, and there's already drugging most of the young boys out there that can think and have leadership qualities. I mean, this is full-scale war, thought out a long time ago. As say, Julian Huxley said, we'll use pharma, and so did Bertrand Russell. He said, we shall look for those with leadership qualities, and if we can't bring them in through scholarships into our system, we'll have to eliminate them. That's what he said. Because they couldn't allow people who could convey what's happening to the rest of the people and become leaders, that have to drug them or annihilate them.
From myself, Alan Ward, it's good night to me, your God or your gods go with you.